ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. Maharaj, with your permission, and all the devotees here, I'll read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we'll try to enter into some discussion. So this is the last verse of the sixth canto, chapter 5, text 44. And here. Only the last verse of the canto, but the last verse of this book. Sri Shuka Uvacha Pratija Grahatat Bhadam Narada Sadhu Sammatah Etavan Sadhu Vadohi Titikshe Tishvarasvayam Sri Shuka Uvacha Pratija Grahatat Bhadam Narada Sadhu Sammatah Etavan Sadhu Vadohi Titikshe Tishvarasvayam. Ladies. Pratija Grahatat Bhadam Narada Sadhu Sammatah Etavan Sadhu Vadohi Titikshe Tishvarasvayam. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Pratijagraha, accepted, tat that. Bottom, so be it. Narada, Narad Muni, Sadhu Samataha, who is an approved sadhu. Etavan, this much. Sadhuvada, appropriate for a saintly person. He, indeed, tik-tik-sheta, he may tolerate. Ishvara, although able to curse Prajapati Daksha, Svayam, himself. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, since Narada Muni is an approved saintly person, when cursed by Prajapati Daksha, he replied, Tadbaram, yes, what you have said is good. I accept this curse. He could have cursed Prajapati Daksha in return, but because he is a tolerant and merciful sadhu, he took no action. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-21, Tatikshava karunika surida sarvadehinam ajata satrava shanta sadhava sadhubhushana. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures. And all his characteristics are sublime. Because Narada Muni is the most elevated of sadhus, devotees, to deliver Prajapati Daksha, he silently tolerated the curse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught this principle to all his devotees. Janadapi sunichena, tadorapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who preaches the glories of the Lord all over the world, or all over the universe, should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than a tree. Because a preacher cannot live an easygoing life. Indeed, a preacher must face many impediments. Not only is he sometimes cursed, but sometimes he must also suffer personal injury. For example, when Nityananda Prabhu went to preach Krishna consciousness to the two roguish brothers, Jagai and Madai, they injured him and made his head bleed. But nevertheless, he tolerantly delivered the two rogues, who became perfect Vaishnavas. This is the duty of a preacher. Lord Jesus Christ even tolerated crucifixion. Therefore, the curse against Narada was not very astonishing. and he tolerated it. Now it may be asked why Narada Muni stayed in the presence of Prajapati Daksha and tolerated all his accusations and curses. Was that for Daksha's deliverance? The answer is yes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that after being insulted by Prajapati Daksha, Narada Muni should have left immediately, but he purposely stayed to hear all Daksha's strong words, so that Daksha might be relieved of his anger. Prajapati Daksha was not an ordinary man. He had accumulated the results of many pious activities. Therefore, Narada Muni expected that after delivering his curse, Daksha, satisfied and freed from anger, would repent his misbehavior and thus get a chance to become a Vaishnava and be delivered. When Jagai and Madhai offended Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda stood tolerantly, and therefore both brothers fell at his lotus feet and repented. Consequently, they later became perfect Vaishnavas. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Om Agina Timurandasya Gananjana Shokaya Chakshubilitam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Mukham Kuroti Vachalam Pangalangayate Giri Kripa tamaham vande shri guru dinitarinam paramananda madhavam shri chetanishwaram. So there's much here to contemplate, to appreciate, to meditate. In this verse, in this purport, we find, in one sense, the essence of the foundation of our spiritual life. We've been given again in this purport, this wonderful verse, shloka from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let us all repeat it together. Janadapi sunichena tadorapi sihishnana amanina manadina kirtaniya sahara. When this shloka is given to us in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj asks us to take this verse and wear it like a garland, like our neck beads. What's something that we always have? Right? We never take, the neck beads are there always. We wear them constantly. So similarly, Krishnadas Kaviraj tells us, take this verse, string it like a garland, string it like a strand of neck beads, put it around your neck, keep it there, constantly in your mind. We were recently in Vrindavan, Hari Soraya, my wife, Patita, we heard a wonderful little story from one of our god sisters about this verse. She was in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada was there, and there was some incident in the kitchen. There was a devotee preparing the prasad for all the devotees, and this lady, she was she had some service. I can't remember the details, but anyway, she was there in the kitchen for some reason, and the other devotee was saying, "Why are you here?" And she was saying, "Well, I have my service," and there was some sort of exchange, and she got angry, and she walked out, and he got upset, and he went and complained, and all of this started to bubble up, and somebody went to Srila Prabhupada, and this lady, she was very upset, and then she thought she'd disturbed Srila Prabhupada, and then she went to another devotee, and now I don't know what to do, and that senior friend of Srila Prabhupada that lived in Vrindavan, Bhagaji, "But don't worry, I'll sort this out." And he went to Srila Prabhupada, and then he said, "It's okay," and then she went in, and in the exchange with Srila Prabhupada and this lady, Srila Prabhupada spoke of this verse. He said, "You have to be tolerant. Whenever there's some disturbance with another devotee, be tolerant. You must learn this tolerant. This chunada pi sunichena, torora pi sihishuna, amanina amanidina, kirtanina sadari. You should string this verse around your neck like a garland and wear it all the time." This was Srila Prabhupada was commending this lady. Now this lady, being a very, very enthusiastic devotee and sometimes perhaps a little extreme, she decided to immediately she arranged for somebody to bring some needles and some ink from the marketplace, and she got a few of her friends together, and they all started tattooing this, yes, we're going to do this. So maybe that's not exactly how you have to do this. Simply marking your body with the verse is not necessarily going to function. The meaning is that of this advice is that we keep this instruction in our hearts, in our minds. We keep it always present. And we remember constantly. The verse tells us, kirtaniya sadahari, constant. So similarly, the constancy of chanting is related to the constancy of this attitude. As long as this quality of titikshava is there within us, as much as that is constant, as much as that mood is present always, in that respect, the holy name will also be constantly with us. This is what we're taught. So this verse repeats the word sadhu. So sadhu is a very common word throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita. In many places we hear this word sadhu. And here in India, we hear the word sadhu very often, many times misapplied. We're reminded of Srila Prabhupada's early life. He, while living with his father at his home, recalls how many sadhus came to his house. But he wasn't very impressed. They wore the dress of sadhu, but they did not have sadhu behavior. So when his friend told him about a sadhu, a wonderful sadhu that he had met and invited him to come along, he resisted. He was not that interested in another sadhu. Somehow he was convinced and went to meet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there he found the actual sadhu. So Narada Muni is described here as sadhu. Why? Because of this quality of titikshava. Now, in this verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes, titikshava karunika surada sarvadehinam ajata satrava shanta sadhava sadhu bhushanaha. This quality of titikshava gets expanded into its other ornaments. The verse says that here it says the symptoms of a sadhu, but the actual word here is sadhu bhushanaha, adorned. Sadhu bhushana. Bhushana literally means to be adorned with. So the sadhu, adornments, is that the word? The features, kind of dress, wearing matted locks, covering yourself with ash, having huge tilaks, or big beads, or whatever it is. These are not the adornments. These are not the things that bring the quality of a sadhu. The adornments, the qualities that indicate a sadhu are these, that first of all, he is tolerant. And on that platform of tolerance, we started speaking today that these verses, this discussion is describing, in one sense, the foundations of our spiritual life. That it begins with tolerance. That's the base. Just like when you want to construct a building, it has to sit on the ground solidly. If it is not strong in its foundation, it will wobble. So this ability to tolerate the disturbances of this world, but even more so, the ability to tolerate the disturbances between we conditioned souls who are contaminated with false ego, contaminated with material desire, to tolerate the friction that will inevitably result when these modes of nature interact, and to remember who we are, to remember our real identity. In the Shikshamrita, where Mahaprabhu gives us this verse, he's giving us this not just in a, you know, in a metaphorical way, that you should Janadapi Sunichena, you should feel yourself lower than the blade of grass, because that will be humble. No, you feel yourself lower than the blade of grass because you are lower than the blade of grass. You are low. We are tiny. We are tiny, infinitesimal parts of Krishna. All of us. None of us have some great power being. We're all essentially lower than blades of grass. Just little parts of Krishna. No big controllers. Many of you may have heard this wonderful story. Srila Prabhupada was with one devotee who you will know who he is at the end of the story. So Srila Prabhupada is sitting with his devotee and he's describing. So there is this huge universe. And within this universe, there is a solar system. There is an arrangement of planets. And within this arrangement of planets, there's this one planet. And this universe is practically unlimited. And then in this planetary arrangement, millions of miles wide, there is this one planet, and it's called Earth. And this huge Earth with billions of people in it has many, many countries. And one of these countries is the USA. And in the USA, there are thousands and thousands of cities. And one of them is Los Angeles. And in this city of Los Angeles, there are hundreds and hundreds of streets. And one of them is La Cienega Boulevard. And on La Cienega Boulevard, there are tens and tens of houses. And one of them is this one here. And in this house, there's one Tamal Krishna Goswami, and he thinks he's the controller of everything. Now, I don't know if I got that quite right, the story. I may have, you know, but you get the point. We're just little creatures in this world. So we have to remember who we are and be tolerant. But then comes the next thing. It says, Tikshva Karinika Surata Sarvadehinam. So it's not that in this mindset of being lower than the straw in the street and so on, that we become depressed in some way, that, you know, we're just worthless beings or whatever. Because the next point is that we are also, as the parts of Krishna, we are the servants of Krishna. And as his servants, we naturally feel love. We begin to feel this compassion for all other living beings. And born out of this foundation of humility and tolerance comes love and compassion. And out of that love and compassion, the devotee becomes the real friend of everyone. So, Prabhupada speaks in this verse, in this purport, and also in the purport of the verse that he quotes, about some examples. Narada Muni here is giving us one example of this sadhu quality. He, and perhaps many of us have had this occasion. Someone gets very angry with us, right? Now we have a choice. we can get angry back, right? I mean, that's, especially when we feel that we were wronged, I mean, that the person is accused. Narada Muni was innocent. I mean, Daksha didn't know what he was talking about. Daksha was very falsely accusing Narada Muni. Narada Muni could have responded and got back at him and said, "How can you say that? Don't you know? Don't you understand who I am? I'm Narada Muni. You're just Daksha. I'm Narada Muni. I'm traveling all over the universe. I'm saving the fallen souls. What are you doing? You're just making children. That's your job. And what will they do? They'll just become materialists and they'll waste their life. You should be thanking me. I saved your sons from this horrible well of material existence." He had every right to respond to Daksha with strong words. But he knew that wouldn't have gotten him anywhere. Daksha would just got more angry and more upset, and it would just go on and on and escalate. And the war of egos would accelerate. But because of his sadhu quality, Narada Muni remained fixed in his purpose, fixed in his service, fixed in his compassion. And he tolerated. He let Daksha let off his steam with the hope that once he did so, he might repent and come around. We don't know. The next chapter, Daksha's back in business. This time, having girls because they're safe from Narada Muni. So we don't know. Did Daksha come to his senses after this interlude? It's not described, at least here in Srimad Bhagavatam. But we do have another example that Srila Prabhupada gives us of Jagai and Madai. They were similarly intoxicated with false prestige. Just like Daksha felt himself to be so important. Of course, Daksha had also some right of prestige. He was given a very high position in this universe and a very important service. Jagai and Madai were just rogues, but they were quite powerful rogues. Sometimes I often when we see these plays put on of the story of Jagai and Madai, I feel a little that they're not getting it, because usually Jagai and Madai are kind of portrayed as drunken sort of, you know. But these were not just two drunks. No, they were not just two drunks. These were really, really bad dudes. I mean, I don't know, you know, what... I mean, take Hiranyakashipu and his... Of course, he was, you know, the universe. But take his sort of powerful mentality and his disdain for anyone else and his readiness to murder, kill, or do anything for his right. And that you have, that's the quality of these brothers. They were not to be messed around with. And here comes this sadhu telling them to chant. So there is, who are you? You know, just like that. Get out. And without a hesitation, just get out. Throwing a broken, whatever they had. I mean, if probably they had a knife, he would have thrown a knife. But whatever was it, okay, I got my... And Nityananda took it. He took it. Nityananda is the personality of Godhead. Baladev. He could have... he could have really finished them in a, without, with a glance. But he manifested this same mood. And this mood affected these brothers. And then Mahaprabhu comes the next time when they, of course, at the first instance, Nityananda doesn't stick around. He runs without, because Haridas Thakur is there also, and they're a little, you know, okay. We've done our job here. They run away. But when they come back again, because this is when, I mean, Jagai Madai would have naturally thought, well, hey, you know, we got rid of these guys. But they come back. They come back after this. And they present themselves again after we've shown them just a little bit, a little taste of what, you know, we can do. And they're back in front of us. Of course, Mahaprabhu is standing in front with a little different mood because his Nityananda has been hurt. But ultimately, the compassion, the love of Nityananda overwhelms these brothers and they repent. Now, Srila Prabhupada gives other examples. Not here, in the purport to this, the verse that he quotes, Srila Prabhupada speaks of Haridas Thakur. Now, Haridas Thakur, and here in this verse, Srila Prabhupada speaks of Jesus. Now, both of these, I mean, many of you were raised in a Western environment. You probably have at least had some exposure to Christianity, if not have had a Christian upbringing. So you probably know that before Jesus was crucified, he was subjected to extraordinary punishment. He was scourged, as they say. He was taken into, I guess it was a marketplace, most likely, in Jerusalem, and bound up. He was whipped continuously till his back and his sides and his whole body was completely shredded. And then he was made to carry his own cross, go to the hill, and be nailed on the cross. Extraordinary pain he was subjected to. Now here in our own tradition, we also have the case of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, and for preparing for this class, I was trying to read up the story, but I couldn't find it. I'm not sure where the whole story is given. Who knows? Is it? Excuse me? I thought it was in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I couldn't find it quickly through Vedabase at least. I think it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat, yes. So anyway, and I think maybe, anyway, the basic story, because I'm a little weak on the details, but there was one Muslim ruler of one area, got complaints, that I can't remember all the details leading up to why he was arrested. But for some reasons, Haridas Thakur was arrested and sentenced to be beaten with canes till death. Till death. And he received that. He received that beating. Not just in one marketplace, but 22 marketplaces. The ruler really wanted to teach the people a lesson. So he took Haridas Thakur, they took Haridas Thakur from one place to another. Okay, see this, what happens. Now Haridas, not only did he tolerate, but he was so kind, he began to think, well, if I don't die, these guards, they might lose their job or something like that. So I guess I will, you know, I'll die. And he, in some mystical way, died, and then in some mystical way came back to life. His story often makes me think about maybe there's some connection between Haridas Thakur and Jesus, because they both have similar activities in some ways. So Haridas Thakur, his emblem of tolerance helps us understand who he is, and in addition to being somehow Brahma, he's also understood to be Prahlad. Prahlad is another example of complete tolerance. So, Prabhupada brings this all back to us. That we, the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we have received the mission of this society. As members of this society, we have accepted its mission. That mission is the mission of compassion. We are a society dedicated to the deepest compassion, as indicated by our acharyas, as indicated by the heroes of this book, the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this Srimad Bhagavatam, we're finding story after story, giving us the activities of heroic activities, not in fights and battles, but in extraordinary compassion, extraordinary love. We hear it again and again. Even when we find someone like Dhruva, who was a ruler. I mean, he first, of course, has his meditation, he receives the mercy of Krishna, but he goes on to be a ruler, and he goes on to have a big fight. But the story ends with the lesson of compassion. Everywhere we find compassion coming through the heroes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are a mission based on compassion. And what is that? Jiva Dhoya Krishna Nam Sarva Dharma Sar. To be compassionate to the jivas is to give them Krishna Naam. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is the essence of all dharma. So Prabhupada tells us here that we should expect, as preachers, as members, as missionaries, in this compassionate mission, that we will encounter resistance, we will encounter anger, we will encounter sometimes even violence. We have to tolerate. And what to speak of tolerating the anger and violence and difficulties coming from the world? We have to do it amongst ourselves. As a society, we have the difficult task of being a community of Vaishnavas, being sadhus, and at the same time being organized. We have to be organized. Many of you probably, I'll repeat it, many of you have heard this little leela of when Giriraj, in the middle of the night, I think it was, in the last month, I believe, of Srila Prabhupada's presence in this world, in his physical form, he called Giriraj to his room and asked him, so how will the movement continue? And Giriraj's response was, well, if we remain pure and dedicated and we chant and follow the principles, then the movement will go on. Srila Prabhupada accepted but commented, organization and intelligence. Srila Prabhupada formed a society, an organized society, despite the risks. There, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati speaks of this, that he says something to the effect that as soon as you have organized religion, it's like, that's it. You know, spirituality goes out the window. Because the tendency is that when we try to organize, organization means that one person has one role and another person has another role, and there's people that are telling each other what to do. And as soon as you try to do that, the ego comes up. And when the egos come up, then the material nature arises and spiritual understanding can go out. And on the other hand, if we try to simply remain sadhus, the so-called sadhus, generally what we find in, you know, they're just wandering here and there, they're not very organized. It's kind of, you know, organization, you know, that'll, you want to be free, just spiritual. So we have the challenge to be organized, to work together, to cooperate. So naturally we're going to be confronted with friction, with problems. And therefore, constantly we must remember, chinadapi suni chinataror api sahishnana. Amanidam, amanina, amanina. Not wanting, not desiring, not demanding respect, but manadena, manadena, ready to respect everyone. Then, harinam, kirtaniya sadahari. So these are the lessons of this verse. Now we only have 2 minutes. Sorry for... I guess we can take one question. Or, well, she had her hand up first, so... She, and... the lady in the back, I don't know.
She can talk after me. I'll take only 1 minute. For those of us who... Thank you for a nice class, by the way. I really appreciate your topics. Sorry I missed part of it. But the point you're talking about today really touches my heart because I have personally been struggling with some ego situations, and I was wondering what your advice would be for those of us who are not at this stage of Narada Muni or Jesus Christ or Nityananda Prabhu or Haridas Thakur or Prahlad Maharaj. When we encounter in devotional service God brothers or other devotees who commit offenses towards us, and the first time we don't even notice, we barely notice the offense. The second time we ignore the offense. The third time we have compassion towards the person. The fourth time we forgive them, and the fifth time it kind of really starts to mess with you. You know, you can only tolerate so much. So what would be your advice for someone who's in this kind of situation?
Well, as I appreciate, that you're talking about situations where you've tried to be tolerant, you've tried to be, but things are just going on. And then you have to see two things. Now this is a test again of compassion. You have to make sure that your intentions are correct. And then becomes prayer and conversation. So many tools are there we live in a society, and interpersonal relationships are always going to be a challenge at some point or another. So there are many tools to address these. There are friends to turn to. There are authorities sometimes. There are counseling, mediation. Sometimes if it's serious enough, if it's disturbing your service and so on. So we look for, but always from the mood of compassion. And at the same time, we're always also looking at, okay, is there something that I, really, 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 have I really discovered what's in me that may be causing this? That's another thing. So, being tolerant doesn't mean that we don't act to get a good result. Just like here, Narada Muni was tolerant for a purpose. He had a purpose. The question came, well, why didn't he just leave? Because that would have been another good, response. But he actually, not only did he stayed and tolerated because he had a purpose. So being tolerant has its purpose. It's a purpose, internal purpose, to keep us fixed, but it also may have an external purpose to help another person. But that requires, time and place and circumstances. So your question.
It was very nice class, but I have seen all of you great devotees who are preachers, you all have that paradukkadukki feeling, you're very compassionate, and you all preach, but you don't get affected negatively. But I am also a preacher, when I preach, and if I feel I failed, I think of bringing them to Mayapur, and when I bring them to Mayapur, if they don't see that much of happiness, like how I feel very bad, and I feel very sad, and I'll be very sad. But I think as a preacher, we should preach without expecting result, but how to come to that stage? I feel bad when my students, don't feel so happy in devotional service and all that. All other preachers feel very happy. I don't know how.
Don't know quite what your question is, but I'm trying to understand. Basically, you're asking what? You're asking that what?
When preachers preach.
You're describing a situation. But what's the... Yes, there's a situation.
How
not everyone
not
is...
How not to feel bad? How not to feel bad as a preacher?
Don't feel bad. Well, I feel bad. You're doing your service, and um, you like you said, we have to be on attack.